Good evening, everyone. This is Donna Fox, and you are listening to Akashic Wisdom. This is the show about the Akashic Records, talks about the Akashic Records, and talks about you. So this program is about you. So if you have any questions about your life, about why things are the way they are in your life, or if you'd like to know why things are the way they are on the planet, this is your opportunity to call and ask the Akashic Records all about the information. And if you're listening to BBS Radio and you're on the website, then you've got the numbers. If you're streaming in, let me give you the numbers to call. It's 877-876-5227 in the U.S. or in Canada, in the U.S., is 888-815-9756. Or if you're calling direct, it's 530-876-3222. Okay, so tonight is a special night. The reason why it's a special night is a couple of things I want to pay tribute to. Number one, this is my grandson's birthday. He's 7 years old, and his name is Seth. And I am dedicating this show to Seth Michael. And Seth Michael is a very special young man and has lots of energy and is your typical seven-year-old, and I love him a lot. So we want to send a happy birthday out to Seth. And I'll get you to it in just a second, caller. Glad you're calling in. And the second person I want to dedicate this show to is to my dad. His birthday would have been tomorrow, and his name is David. And I just want to say whatever realms you're in, my daddy, I love you, and I'm glad you're around, and I'm glad you are my dad. So, okay, now we can move on. Those are the tributes for tonight. Who's on the line? Hello, caller.
Hi, Donna. This is Sharon from, I'm in Findlay, Ohio with a group of friends.
Oh, well, we got a group. Are we all on speakerphone tonight?
No, they're listening over my laptop computer, and I'm in another room talking on my cell phone to you, so we don't get
any
feedback.
Okay, so right? Are they going to field questions back and forth on little slips of paper?
We have been having a wonderful chat this evening about what you do and the Akashic Records. And the first question we have, could you explain a little bit more to my little group here and to your listeners exactly what the Akashic Records are?
Oh, sure. Well, the Akashic Records are the energetic recording of your soul's journey over every lifetime. So every thought, every word, every deed are registered in the Akasha, including your soul's intention for this lifetime. But it's even bigger than that. If you could, you know, today's technology, we think about search engines. And so I like to think about the Akashic Records being like the ultimate search engine that's powered by the divine. So that anything that has ever lived, any being that has ever lived or is living now, has a vibrational field. And that vibrational field is held in the Akasha. So when we think a thought, that's vibrational. When we feel a feeling, that's vibrational. And obviously, when we speak words, that's definitely vibrational, and actions also carry vibrations. So when we work with the Akashic Records, the way I work with them, it's to help people understand more about what their life is about, why certain things have happened in their life, how to make sense of that, and how to make sense of just things in general. So I also like to call them like the Akashic Records could be the life path strategy of your soul, especially for this lifetime, because we have so many different probabilities or possibilities that when we come in, we have choices. And so because nothing is really set in stone as to how it has to be, and everything is free will choice, it means that we have every moment is a new decision, you know, and every moment is a new choice. So I hope that answered your question.
Some people have called it the Book of Life. Is that correct?
Oh, yes. Absolutely the Book of Life. I mean, it's known in many religions by the Book of Life, where everything is written down. And absolutely, Book of Life, universal knowledge, chaos, nothing, the no thing. All of that is, it's the matrix. It's the matrix of light. It's the matrix of the grid, if you will, that surrounds the planet. Not to mention it's the grid that extends itself into the universe. So the Akashic Records has many dimensions and many fields of energy. And there was like, we call it the Akashic Record. That sounds singular, but within the record there are many records, which is plural, because there's so many different dimensions and levels and frequencies, if you will.
So this is a tool, a resource that's been given to us by the universe?
It's not only a tool, it's a receptacle of information. So it also extends out galactically. It's not just on planet Earth. It doesn't just record planet Earth information.
Okay. And I know that you can open the record of an individual. Are there group records for people who are, like my little group here tonight, we've been together since, meeting together four times a year since the mid-70s. Is there something like a group record?
Oh, sure. In other words, like when you come together, like for example, companies, businesses have a record because it's a thought form. In other words, for example, the idea of you coming together, I'll talk about companies in a minute, but what's coming forward is that you have all come together under a contract to meet and explore and deepen yourselves. And that contract is because the soul group that you come from, although it may be the same, it could be diverse. In other words, like you don't all have to be from the same soul group in order to be able to have come together to create a contract. So people from other soul groups do come together to make contracts, and what I'm getting at is that there are some people within your group that, although not part of your quote unquote soul group, are definitely, you know, a part of the larger purpose of your group. It's like, for example, let's say we're American and somebody is from Hungary. We're from two different countries, but we have the same mission. I guess that would be the best thing to explain it to you.
Okay.
As far as having a record or an energy of the people or your group, there's a definite contract that would hold... That would be in the records. In other words, like the contracts of you folks coming together.
Okay.
Does that make sense to you?
Yes, it does. For my friends, this is kind of new information for them, so I appreciate you walking us through this.
Well, I think it's helpful. Yeah.
I'm sorry?
I said I think it's helpful for everyone that's listening as well. Great questions.
Chris, Ellen, and Ellen and I are just, we're amazing together when we're together. Even though, as I said, we only get together maybe four times a year. Is there anything that the records can tell us about our group?
And we're going to just do first names right now, I think. This works better if I get the email with everybody's legal name, but let's see what happens when I just use the first name. What are the first names again?
Chris, K-R-I-S, Ellen, Ellen.
Wait. Oh, you're going to give me last names as well?
I do.
It's on here, you know.
Let me check with them. You can give mine out. It's Sharon Showman.
Okay. And who else? Hello?
Ellen Fish, Ellen Green.
Wait,
and
Ellen. Ellen Green, did you say?
Yes, Ellen Green.
Yeah.
Chris File.
Okay.
Ellen Fish.
F-I-S-H?
F-I-S-H, mm-hmm.
Okay.
And
all right, is that anybody else?
Nope, this is the four of us.
Okay. All right, so you want to understand what is your exact question? You want to understand if there's a message from the records for you?
Yeah, is there something that the records can tell us about our coming together and our continued working together and our purpose together? Have we been together before? Anything, any information would be helpful.
Okay, great. And I just want to just explain to the folks who are listening, when I tap in like this, I have opened the records prior to the show being on, and I access the records through a holy prayer. And what happens is I tell you exactly what I see, hear, or sometimes feel. So I'm not interpreting anything. It's to the best possible way it is your information, not my information. So mm-hmm. after this program is over, it's not unusual for me to not remember at all what I told you. So, and Sharon knows that because I frequently say I have no idea what I'm talking about because I don't remember what I said. Okay, because it's not my information. So, all right, so we want to just let me take a moment. There might be some dead air here, but it won't be really dead air. It'll just be silence for a moment. So all of you listeners, just go within for a moment and just why don't you think of a question you would like to ask, and then when Sharon gets off the phone, you can call in. Or you can also email me at info@akashicwisdom.com. That's I-N-F-O, akashicwisdom.com. Okay. Well, what's going on with your group is that the aspect of spirituality is actually expanding, and the members of this group have a deep yearning to be closer to their divine. This is not a religious thing. It's really about wanting to feel more connected to Source. And it's not even so much and so the things that you do together actually anchor in service and bring forth information in a way that even though up to this point your friends may not have been quote unquote metaphysical in the true term, if you will, there is a deep spirituality of each one of you that reaches out and is committed to service of the planet. So it's really about understanding how important your sharing of information is. And the other piece is that when you come together, it would be important for you to all share journals about your insights about how life works. And if there are some folks that don't journal, it would be important for them to begin. It's almost like they get these insights into things that are happening. It could be standing in a grocery store line and you get this like hit of information or it's an observation, and it's not that it's odd, it's just like it's so deep or so like, wow, that's an interesting thought or that's an interesting way of looking at it. And that's real important for you to write down and then share with the other three of you rather. So it's really about sharing your information. And your past lives, you know, it's interesting because each one of you brings a different facet of personality to this group. What they're saying is that you have the perfectionist, you have the procrastinator, you have the outgoing one, you have a more introverted one, and you have and this is all parts of each one of you, a more sensitive one, one that's very pragmatic, one that's very the word is bodacious. I think that's an interesting word. And so there it's like this group carries all of that. And but the idea here is service. It's about what you can do to help the planet. It's almost like there's a project brewing here. So I don't know if that's helpful or not.
Well, Donna, anything you tell us is always helpful. It really is, and it's been so. Let me ask one more question. I'll get off the air and I'll go back and we'll listen to. Go back in with the other room and sit with my group and listen to you. Is there any reference to us having been in past lives together?
Oh yeah, there was that. I thought I just said that. I apologize.
I may have missed it. I was concentrating so diligently on what you were saying.
Is that you've been in many past lives together in a variety of different aspects. And the first thing that's coming is definitely from an Atlantean point of view. And there's a recommendation here that if your friends aren't familiar with Atlantis, there's some information that Edgar Cayce has on Atlantis that you might find interesting.
Okay.
And then there's an Egyptian lifetime. There's a lifetime in France where the four of you were nuns. That was kind of an interesting lifetime.
I'm not even in the other room, and I can hear my friends laughing.
Yeah, well, that was interesting. And then they're also talking about. They're also talking about you, the four of you, being shepherds. Like during biblical times. So I don't know. In other words, like again, we'd have to be a little bit more. It's harder to do on the air than it is in person, as you know.
I do understand that, Donna, and I appreciate you doing this for us, especially since this is all new to them and. This just gives them kind of a way of getting their feet wet in this. And once again, I appreciate your time. You know I love you. Can't wait to see you.
Can't wait to see you. I tell you what. See, you have to have your friends come to the Universal Light Expo in Columbus.
I will mention that to them.
You see, because then they get to hear you speak, and they get to hear me speak, and they hear all the other people can speak, and it's an interesting place to go. For those people who are listening, the Universal Light Expo in Columbus, Ohio, is probably one of the it's the largest expo in a three-state area that I know. They have like 10,000 people come. There's like about 300 booths and speakers, solid, all day Saturday, all day Sunday, and it's pretty interesting. So. It's a good time for those people who are metaphysically inclined, and so it's the Universal Light Expo in Columbus, Ohio, and you can Google that. I should have a website handy right now, but I don't. But I promise next week I will.
You're right.
It
is a great weekend, and
yeah.
Your listeners need to know how generous you are. With you have a booth there, and you have graciously offered to share that booth with me.
Yes.
And that just gives everybody kind of an insight into the kind of heart and soul that you have, Donna, and I appreciate it.
Well, why don't you tell everyone what you're going to be talking about?
Pardon me?
I said, why don't you tell everyone what you're going to be talking about?
I'm going to be talking about my spiritual journey. It's called the Reluctant Mystic Finding Your Way. And it's about how I started to become very religious in my profession and knew that I had to make some changes. Went through a deep, deep, dark night of the soul. Found a spiritual teacher in of all places, Salina, Ohio, who was a massage therapist. She and her husband turned my life around, and now, in just a short 2.5 year period of time, when I said I would never speak in front of a group of people ever again about spiritual things, I'll be at the expo speaking about spiritual things.
Well, there you go.
How about that?
And here you are on the radio speaking about spiritual things.
God's wonders to behold.
Amazing stuff, see?
Yeah.
Yeah, and I would love to, you know, hear from your friends and see how they find that information, and, you know, maybe we'll have to pick a time where we can go a little deeper on this, you know?
That'd be great. Donna, thank you so much for your time. I'm going to get off the line here so other people can participate and have an opportunity to talk with you. And once again, you have my deep gratitude. I love you, and I'll see you in a few days.
Okay, great. Talk to you soon, Sharon. Okay. Feel free to call back in if you have something else to ask.
Okay, we'll do. I'll go out and talk with the girls, and maybe we'll give you a call back.
Okay, great. Take care.
Okay. Thanks, Donna.
You're welcome. Bye-bye. You know, I tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. You know, first of all, I want to just really honor Sharon Showman. She's quite a great lady, and I really enjoy talking to her. We shared, if you had listened to the August 10th program, then you know that Sharon and I shared a very special weekend with a very dear friend of ours named Jane, who had lost her husband that weekend. And it was quite the weekend, and it really anchored our friendship in a way that was quite miraculous. And so that whole weekend was full of aha moments for many people. And so I love talking to Sharon, and I love talking to Jane. And if you have questions for Sharon, you can certainly email me questions, and I'll get them to Sharon if you need me to. That's great. So anyway, we're talking, quite frankly, it's interesting. You know, Sharon was talking about wanting to know about her group's consciousness. And when we all meet together in group consciousness, it's what's important here is to understand that when we create a group, we also create an energy form for that group, especially if there's intention behind the group, or especially if there is a deep affection of friends. That creates its own energy. It's almost like the core of the group has an energy all its own. And I know that you all have experienced friendships that you may not see each other for months at a time, or sometimes years at a time, and you see this person or this group of people, and it's like you just talked to them yesterday. And everything just moves into sync, and it's like you haven't missed a beat. And so it's these kinds of friendships or these kinds of groups that are important to our personal soul. So if you have a friend that's like that, know that that friend is a comfort to you, and you are a comfort to the friend. And that's part of your contract, is to be that comfort to your friends, and to be that anchor, if you will, to always be there for that person, not necessarily to do anything for them or to do anything more than just listen and just be that unconditional place that someone can come to be loved and accepted and seen. You know, so many times we walk through life, we feel we're alone, and yet there are so many people around us that truly love us that we don't notice because we're so focused on our aloneness. And so it's friends like for example, Sharon's group, and I'm sure you folks have friends out there too, that see us for who we are, that love us for who we are, and expect nothing more from us but that we be ourselves and be the best we can be. And one of the things that's important about that being the best you can be piece is that no one expects us to be perfect. Not even God, you know? I mean, it's really important that we understand that the need for perfection is a thought form or a belief system that we have adopted because we got it from somewhere. We got it from our parents or our schools. But true friends who love us, don't expect us to be perfect. They just want us to be happy. And so when you're with a friend, wanting them to be the best that they can be is a wonderful way of supporting them. But sometimes people don't even know what being the best they can be is. They don't understand what their possibilities or even probabilities are. And so as friends, it's a wonderful gift when we can mirror back to that other person their greatness. And the interesting thing about that is when we mirror back their greatness, all of a sudden our greatness gets mirrored back to us. And that blissful feeling shows up, that feeling of peace and acceptance, and it's like that warm, fuzzy blanket or that wonderful, comfortable shoe. And it's the idea of being with people whose vibration you totally align with. And so many times, it's not even so much about what is the quote-unquote grander purpose. It's really about appreciating and going deep into gratitude for the purpose that we have created of having that wonderful, supportive friend who sees us and loves us exactly the way we are and only wants the best for us. And so, you know, we can talk about friendship tonight. That's actually an interesting segue to talk about, is that when we have friends, it's important to understand what we're willing to give the friend and what we're willing to receive from friends. So many of us get involved with friendships where they feel they have to only be the giver. And I want to tell you folks something about only giving. It's uncomfortable. And what's coming forth from the records is a message to those people who feel they always have to be giving something. When you only give, and you don't give the people around you the opportunity to give to you, it's uncomfortable. And it makes for an unbalanced relationship. The other piece is that when you're constantly giving, you don't give a person a chance to ask. But think about that. When you're constantly giving, you don't give a person the chance to ask, and because you're constantly giving, the person doesn't want to ask. They don't want to take advantage. And so the give and take is what's important in a relationship. So consider that when you only give, you really need to give your friends the opportunity to give back to you. Just think about the pleasure you receive in giving. And by not receiving, you just don't give your friends that same feeling. So think about that. Think about how important it is to be able to not only give but receive the things that you would like to experience, you see. So we have a question coming in. Okay, this is a question from Andrea. and it's an email question, and she, and when her question is, if there is a rule of yin yang and no light without dark, are we incomplete if we only deal with the light? Don't we also have to tolerate and control the dark as well as the light for balance, like two sides of a magnet, positive and negative? Wow, that's a great question. Absolutely. In our realm, okay, as humans, we must have both the dark and the light. Because without both, we would not be balanced. The best way to explain that to you is, if you were to think about what's coming forth is an interesting kind of a comment. If you'd never tasted candy, you'd never know it was sweet. At the same time, you couldn't appreciate the sweet of the candy unless you tasted something that was bitter or sour. It's like, you'd know the candy was good, but it wouldn't be, you wouldn't have all the different realms of the different flavors. And so that's what light and dark is, because it's not just light and dark. There are many shades of gray in between. And it's that understanding of the shades of gray that are within ourselves that help us feel compassion for the shades of gray that we see in others. And it's also important for us to understand what our dark side is in order to be able to feel compassion for the dark side of others. So there is a gift of the wounding when we receive the insights to understand what the dark sides are all about. Because the dark side helps us go deeper into ourselves to create the light. You know, one would say it's been said that the dark is just the absence of light. It's just a matter of lighting that candle, and all of a sudden it's not dark anymore. But if you take a candle and you go into a darkened room, it's not balanced unless you're able to see the whole entire room. That's the picture they're showing me here. And so everything is balanced. Everything is balanced in our plane of existence here on planet Earth. I hope that answers your question, Andrea. That was really great. That was a good question. Send more like that. Because and call if you want. Please call with comments on that or questions. That's great questions. Nikki should be out of here, too. I wonder where Nikki is tonight, because she has good questions, too. So I have another question here. This is an interesting question. When I get these questions, I don't read them ahead of time, so as they come in. Okay, so the question is, what do the records have to say about consciousness, about how consciousness is changing the Napoleonic mindset that we see coming from the United Nations, the Patriot Act, and so on? Will change happen soon enough to prevent further encroachments on our civil rights and sovereignty? And what is the best way that we as people and as individuals can be peace? Also a great question. You know, interestingly enough about mindsets and consciousness, we have to understand that consciousness is a collective consciousness. It's an agreement of consciousness. When we, you know, if you take a look, what the records are saying is for we as humans to take a look at the different levels of consciousness that have been present over history, and for us to take a look at the actual level of consciousness there is on the planet now. There is an interesting shift that is happening in our leaders right now, And what's going on is it's actually, what they're telling me is it's happening from the inside out. And many of the leaders are actually shifting internally, even though they haven't actually expressed it externally. So it's very important that we all understand that the leadership of not only this country, but the world is shifting to a place where we will not only be prepared for 2012, but we will move beyond it in a place that is an expanded, into a place of expanded consciousness. And so that's important for us to understand, because what I'm hearing is it gives us great hope. And it's very important that we start noticing the aspects of the light that are filtering through our leaders. If we continually focus on what's wrong with our leaders, we will get more of the same. You know, we are a collective consciousness, we as humans on the planet. And it's up to us to hold the energy of light that gives the opportunity for shift and change. So it's very important that each one of you understands how important you are. Because each one of you carries the ability to assist in the shift based on your consciousness. I just want you to integrate that for a moment. It's very important, because it actually goes along with the second part of this question. And that question is, how can we as individuals be peace? And so what I'm getting here is the best way for we as individuals to be peace is to hold peace in our heart. It's very easy to hold hate. And it's very easy to hold blame. And it's very easy to hold anger. What's harder, much harder, is to hold peace. Peace without any underlying intentions. I mean, underlying intentions, as if to say, well, I'm going to feel peaceful now, because if I'm peaceful now, then everybody will feel peaceful. That's not the reason to feel peaceful. I know that sounds contradictory, but the reason to feel peaceful is because it feels good to be peaceful. And feeling peaceful is what I want to create for me, because when I create peace for me, my hope is that the way I handle things will be an inspiration to others, but I don't count on it. I don't say, okay, I'm going to be peaceful, and then other people are going to see how peaceful I am, and then they're going to be peaceful. Because that, although that's nice, that's not the issue, because that's not pure. I want to be peace because I want to be peace. Because it's important for me to be peace, for me to be able to move into my own beingness. And I have to be in my beingness in order for me to be able to figure out my life. And although that might sound selfish, it's actually very self-actualized. Because the beingness is what's so important for the individual. And when we all move into our own peace of beingness, we have the capacity to extend ourselves out, to love unconditionally, and to be compassionate with others, and to move into a place of non-judgment. That's being peace. When you move to a place of non-judgment, it's not about turning the other cheek or allowing people to hurt you. That's not non-judgment. That's stupidity. Non-judgment is not judging other people right or wrong, which is very hard to do as a human. You know, we're just not wired that way. So it takes a lot of focus and consciousness. And the first person that we need to move into from a non-judgmental stance is ourselves. Because when we move into non-judgment with ourselves, we can move into that peace. Another way of moving into peace, by the way, is to move into gratitude. And you've heard me say this before many times. But gratitude is what leads you to joy. And the joy is what leads you to peace. So, you know, we could talk all day about what conspiracy theories that we think are out there, but the reality is, the more we hold that energy, the more we get that back in return. So we have to make a decision of when we're going to drop the rope and give up our own struggle in our own life, and be the peace that we want. It's like Gandhi said, and so it's really important for us to look at that. How does your life reflect, if you will, peace in your heart? What prevents you from being peaceful today? And why is that? So looking at what prevents you from being peaceful, is it something that somebody else has done? Is it something that you are doing or have not done? What prevents you from being peaceful today? And then take a real good look at the truth of that. What is the truth of it? What have you done today to help you feel peaceful within yourself? Who have you loved today unconditionally? And how have you loved yourself unconditionally today? How have you let yourself off the hook today? See, letting yourself off the hook, it's not about not being all that you can be. Letting yourself off the hook is telling yourself the truth about what you really want to do. We walk around with so many shoulds in our life. And the shoulds bring us shame. And the shame brings us anger and guilt and frustration, which clouds our peace. And so the question for you is, what have you done to bring peace into your life today? Beyond meditating, what actions have you taken for yourself? And this is not a criticism. Please, ladies and gentlemen, this is never a criticism. It's only about awareness. The Akashic Records brings you information that helps you live your life in a more aware way. But the information can be given, and it's up to you to actually listen to it. Can't do anything else but that. In fact, what I do want to tell you about something. I'm going to just let you know that if you enjoy this program and you would like to be around more, a group of people who think like this, I am a member of an organization called Akashic Record Consultants International, and we are actually having a conference in Chicago in October. And you can learn how to open your own personal records prior to that conference so that you can participate in the conference. The actual level one that the organization is sponsoring is on the 23rd and 24th of October, and the actual conference is the 25th and 26th of October. And for those people who have either taken classes from me or another Akashic Records teacher, they're actually having an advanced level two with my teacher. And that's going to be, you do have to have taken a level two prior to doing that workshop. But the conference is going to be magnificent. It's about your sacred calling. And that's what you may want to be looking at right now. What is your sacred calling? You'll have to excuse me. I've got a little bit of a cold tonight. I'm sure you can tell. So, where's your peace? And where's your sacred calling? Just want to also mention to you, and I'm going to talk to you about those telephone numbers. So now would be a good time, if you want to call in and make comments about what I've said, this would be a good time to do that. So if you're around in the U.S. and you want to call toll-free, it's 877-876-5227. In Canada, 888-815-9756, or you can dial direct 530-876-3222. And that's, if you're out of the country, our country code is 01. We have about 10 more minutes of talk time, and you're welcome to call in and talk about this. Just for your own information, this upcoming weekend, on the 5th, 6th, and 7th, I'm going to be at the Journeys Expo in Lakeland, Ohio, at the Lakeland School. It's a college out there, Lakeland College. And you can find more information on that if you go to the, T-H-E, Journey, that's J-O-U-R-N-E-Y, Mag, M-A-G, .com. And it's the Journey Mag Magazine Expo. So Carolyn Mace is going to be there speaking, and so is Dan Millman. And it should be a good time for all. So I highly recommend that. The other thing I want to just kind of share with you is coming up that I'm doing here in Cleveland in September, September 13th and 14th, is a prosperity marketing workshop. And this workshop is being brought forward from the records, but you do not have to know how to open your own records to take this workshop. This is a workshop that's specifically designed for individuals, whether you have your own business or want your own business. It's also designed for holistic practitioners who want to expand their business, or actual entrepreneurs that want to expand their business. So it's all about not only creating more financial abundance in your life, but it's also about creating a business plan for your life. And so it's two full days, and it's a very reasonable fee. It's only $200. And I would suggest that if this is of interest to you, you give me a call about that. And my personal number is 216-691-1233. And you can dial me 24 hours a day on that number. And if I'm at my desk, I'll answer the phone. And if I'm not, there's a confidential answering voicemail on there for you. So, okay. So we've got like 8-10 minutes left. Let's go ahead. This program is only as good as your questions, and we've had some good questions tonight. So call me. I want to hear from you. Sharon, where are you? Nikki, where are you? We'd love to hear from you. We wanted to have some conversation here. So anyway, we had another question that was very interesting. They want to know is, are the Akashic Records the strings in the string theory, or the M in the M theory, or in other words, the resonance that everything is made of? Yes. Yes, that's exactly what they are. They are the no thing. They are the matrix. They are what everything is made from. In fact, the word Akasha is Sanskrit for primary substance of which all things are made. So that is what is the Akashic Records are about. It is, that's the reason for the name. It's the know thing. It's the, it's the light. You know, we're all, I'm sure you've heard the comment of we're all made of the same stuff. We're all made of the same energy. And that's what we're talking about with the Akashic Records. So, these are great questions. Keep these questions coming forward. I love them. These are great. So, here's the situation. We have 5 more minutes, and this is your chance to give me a call. Because I'm about out of talking, my throat's going. So I want my nose is clogged, and I love you all, and I want to hear from you. Oh, you know what else I want to talk to you about? I'm gonna actually, you know, I was talking before about asking and being willing to receive. I'm gonna put something out here. This is my dream. What I would like to do is be able to go around to different gatherings, both large and small, of people, and open up, talk about the history of the records and what they're all about, then open up the records of the group, and then take individual questions. If I could do that a few times a month, I would be the happiest camper in the world. Yes, I want to teach, and yes, I do teach, and yes, I do consultations, and yes, I'm happy with all that. But the best time I have is when I can get in front of a large group, you know, not hundreds of people, although that would be fun too. I'm talking, you know, 25, 50 people, and just be able to work with you in a way that's meaningful. So if you're out there and that's of interest to you, please call me. Okay, who's on the line?
Hi, Donna, it's Nikki.
Hey, Nikki, I was wondering where you were. How are you?
I'm good.
Good. What's up?
Well, I was listening to you about how the question had come up, and we were talking about finding more peace for each person. And I wondered if the record keepers had some suggestions for the listeners of how they could gain perspective on a situation or a person in the moment to look more lovingly with less judgment and more allowing. If they had some suggestions for that, because I think that's often the problem is when people are in a situation, and then to actually stop and pull back and take that moment to look at the whole situation or the person that they're dealing with a little differently.
That's a very good question. That's a very good question. Well, one of the first things that comes forward when you're talking about, let's say, a situation where somebody has wounded another person. I mean, like, emotionally?
Possibly, or any time you're in a situation and you're not feeling peaceful.
Okay. I think the first thing, what I'm getting from the records, look, give me a second here.
Mm-hmm.
The first thing that a person has to do in that moment is to pull back and look at what they could possibly learn. What is this bringing to them? It's like, what am I learning about myself? It could be that I don't like the way I'm feeling. It could be that I want to speak up and I can't. It could be anything. It's about looking for the information about how the situation is affecting them as an individual. Because when you bring it back to you, you end up having compassion, and because the reality is that no one really does anything to us. We are the ones that qualify the information and allow the feelings to be felt. This is a great conversation. We're kind of running out of time. But do you understand that?
Yes.
Yeah. So the idea here is that it's really about taking the responsibility to your heart and saying, okay, what's the bigger picture here? Why is this here? What is this showing me? what am I to learn from this person? Why is this person pushing my buttons? What are these buttons about that are being pushed right now? And many times, if nothing else, it's the boundaries that we need to be aware of that says, this is not feeling comfortable, I don't like it, and I'm leaving. And then I'll figure out what happened after I go. And if you can't get away from the situation, go to the bathroom. Go to a private place where you can pull back your energy and do a regroup. And once you regroup, you put your shields back up because you understand more about what's going on. That's where the consciousness is.
Right. Well, it's all about having consciousness because if you're just going to react without thinking all the time, then you never have that moment to step back.
Right. And so
perspective on it.
Even that is an important piece of realizing that you're constantly reacting and you're not actually responding. You're just doing a knee jerk. You know, the knee jerk. It's all about awareness and consciousness. This is great. And the interesting thing about it is, you where were you a half an hour ago? I love this question.
I was
listening. Great question. You know, I'd love to discuss it more. And we have, you know, I've got to get off.
I've been thinking about for a while that keeps coming up. It's like people have all these triggers for. People say, like, triggers for certain negative emotions and negative responses. And so what are the triggers for love and peace and compassion in a moment? What are
those? Oh, wow. Well, what the record keepers are saying is we have to create our own triggers for that. Because the triggers for the negative are our belief systems that we are not born with, but acquire.
Mm-hmm.
So we also have to acquire the triggers for love. It's and you know, you're an actress, so I'm going to tell you, it's a sense memory.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to create sense memory triggers for love.
Mm.
So the idea here is, I'll give you an example. Whenever when I was a kid, I smelled gasoline. It reminded me of my dad. Because I was with him, like when I was driving, he'd fill up the car. Or cigars. I'd smell cigars, it'd be my father.
Mm-hmm.
I can remember smelling really good coffee and have it remind me of my first husband. Those were triggers for me of feeling good. And so the idea here is that we have to create our own triggers of what love is for us based on what we love and who we love, including ourselves.
Right. And I think, though, that so many people often they spend so much time, though, calling forward and focusing on the negative triggers, you know? Because those get so ingrained and repeated and just responses as opposed to taking those moments that everyone has, you know, something that you can recall from childhood or something that you just loved, as opposed to calling that forward constantly, as opposed to focusing on the negative thing.
That's fabulous. That's the way it is. We have to create our own triggers. But I have to close now.
Yes.
Oh, please call again. You know, I owe you a phone call anyway, so I apologize for not calling you. So we will talk after the show, okay?
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
So I've got to shut down for tonight, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you so much for listening and being a part of this. So I want to thank the masters, teachers, and loved ones for all their wonderful healing information. And with that, we close the records of the Akashic Wisdom Internet Radio Show on August 31st, 2008, by saying amen, amen, amen. The records of the show are now closed. Amen. Have a great week. And find those triggers of love for yourself. Bye-bye.